Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio. I'm broadcasting live from the Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington. We're just off of exit 111 on Interstate 5. 111 is an angelic number for those of you who like numbers. And I want to welcome you here all today. For those of you who are just tuning in now, Friday, today is a free day. So if you'd like to come down and have the time, please come on down and visit us. It'd be nice to have you here, and your energy is always appreciated. The rest of the weekend's $197, but if you don't have the money or you're low income or a student, you get half off. And you meet some incredibly interesting people. And with that, I'd like to welcome my good friend, Greg Sullivan, who's the head of the Japanese Center for Extraterrestrial Intelligence in Tokyo. And Greg, welcome back again to the
great
program.
Great to see you, Ted. Yeah, thanks. It's I'm really excited to be here, and this is my second official presentation and conference in English ever. So it's really it's a relief to be here. And I picked up Japanese, and my connection to Japan comes from three past lives, and in particular one that it was a famous samurai battle. And a lot of my connection is to Kyushu, Japan, where we had the major earthquake at the end of April. So it was an area that doesn't normally have earthquake activity. So I've been through 9/11, then to 3/11 Fukushima, and now with this Kumamoto. It's actually released a lot of positive energy, and I've started to release some of our videos, this event is tied into that, and it's kind of been 6 years under deep cover, and we've had a lot of interesting stuff happening. We've done I brought Disclosure and CE5 Contact to Japan, basically, in a nutshell. And so we've done about 300 plus content events with over 2,000 participants, and people from all walks of life, military, ex-military, and gotten heavily involved with the media over there. And it's been a really intense ride. I first came to Washington here and had my experience like a starseed activation at Mount Adams in 2007. My best friend got married in Portland, and I have had a contract to come there, and it was just the switch went on. I had a lot of background knowledge, and then the experience came on with direct contact. So my stance is more of like peace activism or social sort of like activism in the sense that there's no middleman needed. Everyone can make direct contact now, and this CE5 protocol is one of the easy ways to do that. So, or going right here in your backyard to Mount Adams, to where the Stargate is. So we've had some amazing downloads. We had we were on the phone with you, Ted, over in September last year during the super blood moon and the full moon lunar eclipse there, where a Gaia Sophia-like being from the Pleiades, a planet called with a being called Era, seventh-dimensional goddess, came in, and we did a huge download during Randy Kramer's conference. So James led James Gillen led that with a circle of us, about 50 people. And then when I went back to Japan 3 weeks later, planetary energy came in again at a holy mountain called White Mountain in Japan. It's one of the three holy mountains. So we had another download come in there. And then with this Kumamoto earthquake, I'll be showing footage from our event. It's on the 33rd parallel. So we were sent in 3 years in a row in the middle of the winter. This year we were in snow, and I got some amazing footage of this is the world's largest volcanic caldera, Aso Kuju, it's called, Aso National Park. And there's a lot of craft in the earth there. They have a inner earth base there. So we've had a lot of this what they call ground lights phenomena all over Japan. But I'll be showing videos like that. Hopefully that's share some information that would be beneficial for people's work. Last year there was the 777 Nagasaki clearing, 70th year after the atomic bomb, and we were there on July 7th to do a major clearing. And then there's a lot of Japan has this enormous role with the ascension process happening, and it's been an interesting ride. So for me to be here in English with the spiritual and ET contact community in America is sort of a rare thing. Olympia, Washington, to me is really I was in a band and an engineer, so you have like K Records and Kill Rock Stars and all the big indie scene here. But I'm looking forward to speaking on Sunday.
Great, great, Greg. Well, I'm glad you explained your background and connection to Japan, because you have an English name, American, Greg Sullivan, Irish American, and it's funny you're saying, well, this is the first time, second conference I've done in English, and so, but you speak English very well,
Thank you.
And everyone understands you.
Absolutely.
But maybe if you need a translator, Michiko could translate for you. Happy to translate for you. But you're doing fine.
I wanted to share one quick story from our talk in Nagoya when you were there, Ted, when you had your lecture. Just one little positive miracle, so to speak, is when the theme of the Dr. Emoto's work and everything is, again, as Michi said, you know, activating the consciousness. And if we request, whether it's a contact work or a healing or whatever, we got great proof of that. We were in Ted's, had a lecture in Nagoya. It was our second of three events. And a really good friend of mine who's still an engineer and musician was sort of the doubting Thomas about my contact experience and all this information. And we did a group group prayer, and it kind of, we gave them EFT's permission to come in and help out with Fukushima. And as we left that building, I had a sudden message from my friend who never contacts me on Skype saying, I think I finally saw something. He's in Brooklyn in his backyard at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and the ships came over and he got major power-ups. And this was a guy that was totally on the fence. And so, yeah, it was things like that are becoming more and more, you know, an everyday occurrence. So, yeah.
Well, there's a lot more than meets the eye what's going on this planet. And as our friend Billy here, Zora, mentioned, there's a lot beneath the planet as well. And I can hear him say now, indeed. indeed, there is. So,
definitely, yeah.
I have to, if you don't mind, I hope I don't want to get too distracted, but if you don't mind, I'd love to ask you a question quick, Billy.
What would you like to know, beloved master?
Zora, regarding the Aurora Borealis, I've heard that actually, the lights from the Aurora Borealis are actually from the lights of the sun of the hollow earth.
Indeed.
I knew that was right. Interesting.
That is correct.
Interesting. Fascinating. And our Earth scientists, they explain the Aurora Borealis lots of different things. Like Roswell, they call it a weather balloon. I don't know what they call it, but they don't really get to the real cause of it. It's interesting.
No, they like secrecy.
They like secrecy. Well, this show is
exposing that.
I see.
Secrecy.
Well, this show may be out of this world, but it likes truth as well. So we love the truth.
And that is all I speak.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sora.
One other, as I got to share one more episode from this year, is I don't know if people saw, you're going to show some documentaries tonight, Ted, but I don't know if people have seen the Cove regarding the dolphin. In Japan. There's some town in Japan where a lot of dolphins are killed every year. So we were sent in there just last month. It's called Taiji. It was like a secret film crew went in and Greenpeace got involved. I don't know, you might have seen that movie about 5 years ago. No. So we were sent in there and did a major clearing of the land. And just outside of our kind of contact circle, we had whale song. The ETs kind of made this sound phenomenon happen just above the grass. So everyone heard that. Yeah, and I've got some sounds like that I'll play for everyone on Sunday.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. And since we're talking about life beyond this planet, I think it's appropriate now to lead into Ariana for a few minutes, and then I'll bring in Scott, and he'll bring in his galactic friends.
Thanks, Ted. All right.
Who will have messages for us.
Thanks.
Ariana, hi. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Ted.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, you're not from here, are you?
Well, I was born here, but I speak my star family from Betelgeuse, which is in the constellation of Orion.
All right. Well, and you've come here for a very specific mission, isn't it?
Correct. I'm here to raise the consciousness of humanity and also to heal the planet.
I see. Well, those are very admirable goals, and we certainly need all the help we can get.
Sure.
We're in a mess down here.
Mm-hmm.
Could you speak perhaps a little bit of your light language from your star family now?
Yes. Do you want me to explain what it is?
Go ahead and speak and then explain what they said.
Sure. Okay. So you translate for me.
I'll translate. I understand.
I speak four entities mainly. I speak more, but four are the main ones. Three are my family, and then one is a time traveler. So I'm going to Ted and I have been working on this for a while, so he will translate what their message is for you today.
Mm-hmm. He's saying that Ariana is here on a specific mission to give you gifts of cure for cancer, a true cure for global warming, among other things. And that's what her purpose is to raise, to give these gifts to humanity. And she needs your help. He's welcoming you all here today, and this is a time for enlightenment, to keep your minds open. There's a lot more life beyond this planet than what you see here. That's a message, I think, from your sister.
Kyra, yes.
Kyra, and she's a much, much higher vibration. She has the same message as the Rutherstar family. Welcome you all here today.
And lastly, myself in seventh dimension.
Right. That's her in a future life in the seventh dimension. We exist in the third. Looking back, because this year and next year are pivotal years for humanity. We need to make the right choices to make this planet a better place. And if we don't, we could go down the wrong path and end up destroying ourselves. They don't think that's going to happen, but it's a possibility if we don't make the right choices.
So I will be speaking on Sunday, and I'm going to be taking question and answers. So if you have any questions for my staff family, I'm happy to answer at that time. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. With that, I'd like to bring Scott Lemriel on, who's been in touch with the Galactic Alliance for the past 55 years. Scott has been in communication with Ambassador Trevelyan of the Galactic Alliance, both telepathically and has physically been aboard their ships, and he has much to tell us.
Hello. I really like to take a moment just to look in everybody's eyes. This is something that I've been instructed to do most deeply. And it's very important because we are all telepathic beings, whether you remember it or not, we still are. Okay.
I'm still fine.
I just wanted to look at everybody. One of the reasons that I do what I do now in talking on radio and going to conferences around the world is to bring to people's awareness something that they've been deprived without their consent or awareness on this planet. Everybody here has talked about it, around the issue, on the issue, in the issue. But it really has to do with something that started off-world amongst alien races. Tyrant and benevolent, mostly of our Milky Way galaxy are benevolent, but not all. And something that happened about 5 years ago that changed their consciousness about getting involved in transforming this planet for the first time in galactic history. When I started to write the book called The Say Rays Agenda, I knew who the Say Rays were. Most people in the UFO and extraterrestrial community know nothing about these rays. They are human. 19 to 25 feet tall. We get our genomes from them. This race was responsible for bringing into creation some billions of years ago humans, reptilians, tall whites, grays, all times thousands of different races, and then brought them up to spacefaring race technology capability. They were all benevolent, and then they vanished for a while. We actually have the same genomes or DNA that they have. The human race is probably maybe the oldest race out there. Human beings did not evolve on Earth to begin with, ever. They were brought here in the last 50 million years, at different times, under different scenarios, after the dinosaurs were made extinct here. Lemuria and Atlantis were cultures that are most recent on this planet, but there are many that existed before that. So there is a galactic history of Earth and the solar system that people have been made deliberately to forget, that they once knew. Everybody in this room knew this stuff just as well as the human races and other races out there. I want to give you an example of a normal human planet because it'll begin to make memories come back to the surface. On a normal human planet, there are over 450 million of them in just one quarter of our Milky Way galaxy. And they are called, if in English they would call it not a federation, it's much larger than that. It's called the Galactic Interdimensional Alliance of Free Worlds. There's 144 parallel dimensions in the physical universe alone before it gets to what people know of as the astral plane. And they circumnavigate these systems, and they have trade and worlds in all of them. So when I say there's 450 million, that's just chump change. That's just in our galaxy. There's a galactic council in the middle of this galaxy, or close to it, that's comprised of 5,000 members that represent those world systems. They're all benevolent. Children on a planet like that, by the time they're 10, have the equivalency of 8 to 10 PhDs of a person on this planet. They're telepathic, they have photographic memories, they live at least 1,000 years, up to 25 if they need to, if there's purpose to it.
25,000 years?
Yes.
Okay, wow, that's a long time.
That's normal. So that's how far backward and suppressed this planet has been in galactic history. One of the other problems is the poles of this planet flip overnight every 100,000 years, just like clockwork. It's been six ice ages in 600,000 years, and that's not fair. It means that the cultures that develop here, good or bad, are destroyed virtually overnight, and then it has to be recolonized and reseeded under treaty for good and bad races. It goes back to the last galactic war that happened here 500,000 years ago. At that time, the bad guys, we won't say who they are, I'll talk about that in my talk, were defeated. Benevolent people don't go to their home world and destroy them. They signed a treaty, and they rebuilt damaged world systems for a long, long time. And that involved Earth in different scenarios over that period of time. When I first started writing the series Agenda about my childhood and where my contacts first began at 3-4 years old, and how I came to this planet and why, and how my mission here was intercepted, that happened to just about everybody. I was introduced, or I got introduced to Terellian. Terellian is the Seyres ambassador. He's here now. Ted sees him. He is about 19, depending on your perspective, to 25 feet tall. He is extremely wise, loving, benevolent being. He is the mentor and his race of most of the Galactic Alliance races out there today. In fact, all of them, really. So I wanted to tell you about them because I know from my own experience there's a system of things called implants, which are not the little chips under the skin. Those were reverse engineered by the military-industrial complex in attempt to find a way to counter what was done to them by a much more sophisticated extraterrestrial technology. They place what's called terrorizing artificial images, constructs of a holographic nature, terror, fear, death, torture, and then they stick it in the electromagnetic field around a human being, which really emanates from the core of the being, the soul. It's just spherical in shape, out away from the body. And it's very clever because what's in those programs that you don't see or hear, you just feel it. So when you try to access your highest faculty of direct knowing perception to look into the universe from here and see on a multidimensional scale and know things with certainty, people get terrorized in subtle ways and they'll move away from it until they get to a place in their life where a natural amount of courage emerges, and then they begin to recover command over these things that were done to them. And that's when things like this happen, and things around the world are beginning to change, because people get to a point where they begin to realize that at the core of their being, they are meant to be co-creators, co-creators, not co-servants, with the source, with what extraterrestrial races call prime creator. That's who we really are as human beings. And once everybody in here knew this quite well, which means that it can all be reversed. So what I do with these seminars is just share with people not only that information, but how to begin to reverse it so they can have their own direct experiences with it in their own way about what I write about. I think everybody here on this panel, every single one of us, is committed now to be here to help make this transformation take place. There's never going to be a nuclear war on this planet. That's already been done. That's a done deal. The rest is just fear-mongering. Been 12 times during the Cold War with the former Soviet Union where they actually launched the rockets to blow up this place. And each time they did that, three ships, always three, would hover over the launch facility here and in the Soviet Union and shut down their launch computers. So, don't worry about nuclear war. We have a lot better fish to fry than that.
I have to ask you this question. I was standing outside here at the venue site a couple days ago, and up in the sky, I saw three half-moon objects. They were a series of lights. They weren't stars. They weren't a bird. They weren't Superman. They weren't a bird playing Superman. They were, I believe they were Galactic Alliance ships up there, and they came in. They stationed themselves the night before you arrived. And they're, it's a triangular formation. You can see them at night here. Tonight, I urge you all, when we go out tonight, to look up in the sky. There's one there, there, and there. And you'll see them, like I saw them the other night. Scott, could you ask your friend Ambassador Trellian about that? He's confirming it with me.
Trellian really knows everybody here quite well. Their race immortalized their physical bodies over a billion years ago. So if he wanted to make his presence known to anybody here, you could shake his hand. But when I say immortalize their bodies, it means they're not stuck in bodies. Their bodies don't die in 25,000 years. They aren't limited to the construct of physicality. And human beings have exactly the same qualities and characteristics as they do. So they recently went through a consciousness change to come back into this scene to help the younger races not destroy themselves, because they realized that they're important in helping to make change in the galaxy. The first place that he contacted was this Galactic Alliance meeting in the core of this galaxy, 5,000 members, and he appeared before them. And in 1 minute, the consciousness of those people was changed from being benevolent good guys to understanding they have a connection to the people on this planet. And some of the oldest souls out there are trapped on this world unaware of their entire history. So they're now very motivated to benevolently neutralize negative implants in extraterrestrial races that have caused them to act like tyrants. This was done to a secret government on this planet as well. And they're starting that process on this planet. Wherever I go now, there are always three ships, as Ted talked about, that hover above this facility at 5,000 feet. They're manned by 8 men and women. They're human and humanoid. They're from the Pleiades area and some other areas in our galaxy, sometimes from Andromeda. And they're looking at everybody here and beginning to work a process of how they can get those implants started to be removed from people so they can remember who they are. Very wonderful stuff.
Now, when Scott, when you and I were down at Chast at Rob Potter's conference last August, some of the people actually saw the machines become, the spacecraft become uncloaked, and they appeared to them. Could you share that?
Yeah, I was doing a 2-hour talk there, and this is in the woods near Mount Shasta. And when I was done with the talk, I mentioned that these three ships always go with me and protect everyone coming to the conference while they're at the conference and on their trip home. And every conference I've been to since then, the people have experienced this phenomena directly. There's not going to be any black ops interference here. There's not going to be any hidden government interference here. There's not going to be reptilian grays or tall whites of any kind interfering here. Cell phone interception, satellite, or any other interception whatsoever. You're going to experience that. That's because this is being protected now. This started about 5 years ago. So when you go out of here, look around and just be very sensitive and pay attention to what's going on, because we have a lot of help from friends from out of town now. People have been talking about it. They're becoming aware of it around the world. But it's important in my work to help people recover the memory and experience of it for themselves. So I will demonstrate how to do that.
And after the films are shown tonight, or a few minutes after the last film is shown, these are two famous, wonderful Japanese films being shown by Tetsushiro Tori. They are really good. And I have to tell you something. The one called Revival is just released in April. Now, Tetsu is a wonderful, I think he's the best spiritual film director in Japan. And it was just finished in April. So this is the first time it's been shown anywhere in the world. Well, it was shown in Finland last month, but besides that, first time it's anywhere in North America, anywhere in the world. And the Power of Prayer movie has won awards in Japan for the for the depth of reporting and its coverage. It interviews some of the most famous people, spiritualists in the world, including a doctor named Dr. Murakami. Murakami, correct, who said that he thought that it was ability, you could, through your consciousness, to change the chromosomes in your body so you could make them healing or cure any disease.
Switch on the DNA?
You could switch on the DNA. That's right, by laughing. And so, but after these films are shown, I'd like to ask Scott, and also Greg, you two, everyone, all the speakers here, as long as you're still awake, to go out in the sky and let's look for those Galactic Alliance ships and send them some love and light.
I forgot I didn't answer your question, Ted. You asked me about Mount Shasta. You asked me about Mount Shasta, what happened. When I finished my two-hour presentation, I mentioned that three ships always cover above at 5,000 feet, what is called scientifically slightly out of phase, which means you can't see them. They are physically there, but they're at about 5,000 feet, and they cannot be detected on radar unless they want to be. But when I made mention of that, three of the volunteers in the kitchen were outside the sliding glass doors from the meeting room. They could hear the speakers outside, and they looked up. And that sky parted, and all three of the ships completely materialized, and it just freaked them out. They were dancing up and down with joy. They ran in to tell me and said, you know what just happened when you said that? The ships you were talking about just showed up. So it was quite a gift for them.
I just got the message from our friend Ambassador Twellian, who's behind me here, that they'll do the same thing for us, too. We have to look carefully in the sky at the right moment.
I don't know whether they will or not, but this is up to them.
It's up to their safety, you see.
I don't command them that way.
Yeah, they like to be cloaked for safety reasons.
But I can say at some point everybody in this auditorium will one day experience this anyway.
We've got a couple minutes, Scott, and I think I'd love for you, if you can, to demonstrate the hue for my audience, please.
If I should share first what this is. It is not native to this planet. It was there before the beginning of time. It was the original vibratory word that was used to bring all the multidimensional universe into creation, and we all had a part in it. That means we are Atma, what people from other worlds call, or we call soul, they call Atma. It means that we are an energy sphere that is comprised of exactly the same characteristics and energy as the divine source itself. And this word, when it comes across your path, opens a door through the pineal gland in the center of the brain. It opens a door and connects directly into that prime source, and the beings that are benevolent between here and there, because they're telepathic, they aren't shut down, they hear it when you do it. And time and space is not a factor. These are benevolent, loving, highly evolved human and other beings, and they want to help us. So when you do it, it sounds like this, and you'll notice that it only vibrates the head upward, basically the pineal gland in the center of the brain. Something funny goes on there. And it comes with a certain protection, and it sounds like this. You. If you do that for 10 or 15 minutes at night before you go to bed, some really interesting things will happen, particularly the protection we're talking about.
I always feel a lot of peace and calm whenever Scott does that. So with that, Scott?
When I do this presentation tomorrow, if you want to join me, with your permission, we'll do this and we'll take it up from a low tone up 12 tone levels. And then lots of interesting things can happen. Thank you very much.
Briefly, there's something very important that I failed to mention earlier when Michiko was on the podium. And I'd like to bring her on for 1 minute, just 1 minute, and then I'll have you on right after her. It's a special water prayer. It's based on the Ho'oponopono.
Ho'oponopono?
Ho'oponopono. And it's when we say it, it sends love and light to the children and people of Fukushima. And I'd like to do that now briefly. It's a continuation of her wonderful presentation last hour. So if you could say that, please. And I want you, when you're listening to this, to please say it after Michi and I. and then sending and visualize sending lots of love and light, not only to Fukushima, but also the people of Japan for cleaning up this radiation. It's getting cleaned up by the Galactic Alliance, but they need help, and we can help do that through our prayers.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ted. I think this will help not only Fukushima or Japan, but it will also help all around the world, the water of all around the world, and also here in this venue too. It's like as a vapor, it's more than how many percent today? About probably 60-70% humidity. That means water. So when we offer this prayer, the Dr. Emoto used to give, it's a combination of Dr. Emoto's and Dr. Hewlin, Ho'oponopono. And so it's very powerful. So if you can do it together with me, I would really appreciate it. We say, water, we are sorry.
Water, we are sorry.
Water, please forgive me.
Water, please forgive me.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
We do it three times. Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was important. And Scott was talking about raising the consciousness. And I got a message that we should do that. So
thank you, Ted. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing that. And I want to bring on a special guest here who's come all the way from New York City, about 4,000 or 5,000 miles away. And I just met her, actually. I told she was coming, but I just met her a few minutes ago. So if you could please repeat your name, please, for my audience.
Okay, I'm from the World Brotherhood Union. My name is Marge Potasik, and I talk to people about the Knowledge Book.
Well, it's fascinating. What is the Knowledge Book about?
Okay, the Knowledge Book comprises of the previous sacred texts. It's the essence, energies, frequencies, and knowledge that came through the sacred texts, which were the original philosophies of the Far East that came through in Tibet. That is the Kabbalah, which came through Moses. Then is the Psalms of David, the New Testament that Christ came in with, and the Quran, which is the book that came through Muhammad.
Well, this is fascinating. Thank you for sharing that.
It is those energies, those frequencies, those teachings, and the truths that were given in the prior books that allowed us to evolve over time to be the beings of today. And we are alive today. We are here on this planet. We were born on this planet, having gone through all those teachings, and be at the level to get into the Knowledge Book, be at the level to be able to be introduced to the Knowledge Book, and therefore to work with the Knowledge Book. And when you're working with the Knowledge Book, it is written with a very special technique called the light photon cyclone technique. And through this technique, this book is able to draw into itself whatever time consciousness is available at that particular point in time. And whatever is there, then we are able to absorb only those energies, only those frequencies. We remember that knowledge that is perfect for our level of energy, evolution, consciousness. And slowly, over time, as we're working, we're reading, and there are group programs and individual programs. As we're working with this book, we slowly evolve and become closer and closer until finally we are successful in becoming genuine humans. And a genuine human is defined as the one who has these characteristics: infinite patience, infinite love, infinite tolerance, not forgetting ever infinite humility.
Well, that's really a beautiful message, and I'm so honored to have you here today.
I am honored to be here. Thank you very much for the opportunity of being here.
Now your assistant, Korshan, is here. If you could stand up and introduce yourself. Okay.
I'm Korshan. I live in the area of Washington, but in the state of Washington.
We can't hear you on the radio. We're on the radio here. And
okay.
Anyway, but you live in Washington. You're welcome to come up. Give a couple of minutes if you like. Don't mean to put you on the spot, but I know you work together as a team. And for those of you interested in her works and her writings, you have a booth over there, I know, and you've got some writings. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Portia.
I'm Portia Blanc Writings, and I am here with Marge. We are available to talk to people about the knowledge book, and which was transmitted to a woman in Turkey, Bülent Şorak, a number of years ago, and came out as individual fascicles first, and then became when it was all finished, all of the individual chapters, then it became the knowledge book.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming so far today to share that beautiful knowledge, and you'll be here throughout the weekend. Go ahead.
Just wanted to mention that the main center for the World Brotherhood Union is in Istanbul, Turkey. Their website is www.dfordavidkbforboy-mevlana.org.tr. There is a lot of information about the knowledge book, including the picture of its aura, which extends 70 feet, on the www.theknowledgebook.co.uk. And this explains a lot more about the knowledge book and a lot more in detail. We're also available here. We also have our own website. So please, if you have any questions, come on down.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming.
And with that, I'd like to welcome our very own Teresa Carroll, who's a wonderful healer and a very gifted psychic. She's been doing this for 100 years now? 200 years? I forget. No, it's been a while. No, you don't look a day over 16. You really don't.
Oh, thank you. Well, my birthday is next Thursday, and okay. I'm not going to be over 100 years.
Well, that's good. That's good, Teresa. That's good. Well, you were at my conference last year, and everybody liked you so much. I said, I have to have you back. So thanks so much for coming back today.
Well, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure to be here. And it's my pleasure to add my energy to the energy of each and every one of you and to work as a tuning fork to help you raise your vibration and really come into alignment. There's a lot of powerful people here on both sides of this table right now. And just remember that you're conscious. So with that consciousness, make a commitment to be part of the solution. Don't get caught up in the energies that draw you down. Get caught up in the energies that raise your vibration and bring you to a higher point. I did want to make a couple of comments about the previous speakers. This lovely individual, when he was speaking, his aura became phenomenal.
Zora.
Zora.
Indeed.
Yes. It started with just kind of white stripes layering on top, and I was just watching it just build and grow as he was talking, and I was just like, that's amazing.
Do you realize, as you're speaking about Zora, your eyes are sparkling?
Yes.
They really are.
Yes.
And I invite anyone to take a look. It's not impolite to look at her eyes because they're just like this sparkle in her eyes.
That's because she's in my auric field.
She's in your auric field. What, do mine look sparkly, too? I don't know.
Yes, you have gems in your eyes.
Okay, well.
And, yes, and when this lovely lady was talking.
Ariana.
It was amazing because as she shifted the different voices and the different sounds, it started like an energy on the back of her head, then it came around through her throat, came out of her chest. It was just really phenomenal to watch. And she had a lot of the fuchsia colors and a lot of the lavender, and it was just extraordinary to watch her talk.
I know. The other people, when Michiko was talking about the poem she just did now for Dr. the Water We Are Sorry, the Ho'oponopono, her eyes got sparkly too. And everyone up here now has sparkly eyes. And it's just very, very nice. And she's got this beautiful aura around her, too. I can also see a lot of light coming top of her head, too. So
yes.
We're all energized here. And also, I don't mean to skip around too much, but I have to ask you, Billy, you had a water bottle there, and it was a fairly normal water bottle of so-called sparkling spring water, but you took your fingers like this, is that right? Was like this?
I simply took the top lid.
You took the top lid of this water bottle, and he's doing together now. Okay, now he's taking the three fingers of his left hand with the thumb and the index fingers out on the left side of the bottle of water with the other hand on the right side. And when he did this before, all these bubbles started bubbling out of the water. And it was most interesting.
Doing now.
It's doing this now. Oh, my God, it's happening.
Of yes. course it's happening.
Well, he's making the water sparkle. I'm not. Yeah, no, this is just amazing.
Are you holding a particular thought, or is it just your own energy field?
My energy.
Your energy.
Of course.
Oh, yes.
Everyone has energy.
I'm over here coaching my water. Come on, come on.
You have to. But Zora now is making the water sparkling. She's made Teresa's eyes sparkle. I can't see my eyes, whether they're sparkling or not.
This is radio.
I know that. But we're all getting really sparkly around here. And it's without the use of drugs or alcohol. And the more sparkly, the merrier.
What I'm doing is I'm purifying the sparkling water.
I see. Zora says he's purifying the sparkling water.
You can take pure, what is called filtered water, and by using this technique, you can purify the water.
He said, for those of you listening, that you can use this technique and purify the water.
Another thing you can do, you can take the same technique, like Sue, point it to a Buddhist term, a calm trail, coming out of the back of a jet, and erase it.
That's incredible. For those listening out there, if you'd like to erase a contrail or chemtrail, you simply...
There are no chemtrails.
Chemtrails, contrails. You use the same technique and then blow it, direct it at the...
Point your finger at the contrail and you just erase it.
You can point your finger at the contrail and just erase it. And for many of my friends throughout Washington State and Oregon and across the world, that's a wonderful technique to learn. Thank you. What a gift.
Indeed.
What a gift that is. Thank you so much.
Indeed.
This is amazing.
don't you have another one?
I have one. I actually have one more person to bring on. Before I forget, Carolyn White, who's an Aura reader. And Carolyn, why don't you come over, gather up with the sparkly people over here. And you're pretty sparkly too. But I wanted to say, Carolyn is a fascinating healer and an Aura reader. And you see colors, don't you, Carolyn?
Yes. Well, we're talking, in fact, Teresa and I were talking after Zora was bringing in the energy. I was like, whoa. This is not television, but I'm describing this huge rainbow coming down. It's probably, I don't know, 5-6 infinite, and it's just coming in when you were channeling, when Zora was here. And it was
Zora's still here.
Sorry, you're still here. Okay, one of the things that I like doing with the energy is when I was young, I would see things. I would experience things. I would have these vivid dreams. And I didn't know that people can't read and write and go chasing after energy in their dreams and see things around other people. So one of the things that I like to do that we bring with the aura and the chakra imaging and photography is to have everyone the experience that they are truly beings of light. We're all sovereign beings. We all have our beauty, our inner wisdom. And that's the thing, to connect with that inner wisdom. And that's why I'm here of service to anybody that's interested to have that experience, to share it with them. A lot of the things that I see And then I also interpret what I see as the colors.
I have to tell you that Carolyn and her husband, Jerry White, live here in the area, and we have the most interesting conversations over a cup of coffee. Because I'll sit down and she'll say something like, Ted, you've got all kinds of blue and green in your aura today, and they're working on you, or there's a download. Or where did you get all that silver from? Or you have a 13th century samurai warrior standing behind you, and he's helping you today.
Yes.
He says hello. Is he here, by
yes,
the way?
Yes, he's here.
Good.
And he's the one also that gives you special breathing
to work with.
Okay, and I think that's with the lungs. I think that's all part of the messages that you're getting as well, because you've had the healing with the lungs.
Right.
And also you're now experiencing this beautiful, wonderful breath.
Right. He told me to think of a five-pointed pentagram and take a deep breath for each point of that pentagram.
Yes.
Anytime I had a stressful situation or stuck in traffic.
Yes.
And it would help relieve the stress. And that combined with Scott's hue, boy, that's a good combination. That would bring serenity and peace to almost anything. I wanted to ask, if you don't mind me asking our samurai friend here, wonderful man, any messages he might give to humanity listening all over the world on how they can make this planet a better place?
What he's telling me, everything that you've heard here today about vibration, energy, it's all about living at the upper octave. Every day and everything that you do, I do, is to live at that upper vibrational energy. We have the wisdom within us, and that's the thing, that it's that samurai, that warrior. It's like a peaceful warrior. And each one of us, in order to change the world, to make it a better place, we have to change ourselves first. It all comes from within, and that's the message that he says, that listen, we're all unique individuals, we're all coming from a different point of view, yet we're all saying the same thing.
Right, because we are all one.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And so if we treat someone poorly, we're actually hurting ourselves. That's why I think, as Dr. Emoto would say in the Emoto Peace Project, Michiko's work, love and gratitude are the most powerful, beautiful emotions and that people can have. So if you emphasize that, you can create a much better planet, not only for yourselves, but your children and children's children.
Oh, love, the vibration of love is the highest vibration. And vibration of love also comes from gratitude, because when you are grateful, you are expressing the love.
I see. Wonderful. Wonderful. I was going to say, too, what kinds of colors do you see around us presenters here today?
Oh, well, there's, of course, Zora, who's still here, rainbow. You have a lot of blue and silver around you, and there's such a good, nice, soft blending, a lot of pastels, a lot of white in here. When Ariana, what Patrice was saying, I could see that her colors were coming more interdimensionally, more around the area. If you're giving something physical, it'd be like the throat and the chest. A lot of almost shimmering blue color, violet, magenta.
Okay. How about if we start from the beginning at the end with Michiko, what kind of colors all the way down in 25 words or less do you see?
Oh, she just has such a wonderful sparkly. I see a lot of gold around her, a lot of very strong gold.
Great. And then Scott Mowry next to her?
More blue.
Well, that's his shirt is blue.
Yeah, no, he has a lot of, it's all about communication with him. There's a lot of coming in right now that almost an indigo color.
Interesting. And then Marge?
Interesting, because I see a lot a golden orange, very, very creative lady coming, the energy there.
And a seeker of truth, too.
Yes.
And a very pure heart. I see that, too. Very
sincere.
A lot of
gold. There's also the green around her as well. So it's
nice.
And nice. Then of course
we got Greg Sullivan. Oh yeah, hi Greg.
Greg, you have right now. You have a violet coming in to you. It's almost like a violet flame around you.
Hmm. And how about Dr. Yoshi?
Oh, he's no. Actually, Dr. Yoshi has that the wisdom, what I call the wisdom ray, that very nice yellow.
I see a lot of white light, beautiful yeah. white light, golden light coming through the top crown chakra
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, the gold, that's that yellow gold color.
Right, beautiful. And Zora, of course, is beautiful rainbow.
Yeah, the rainbow person here, just...
No, we like your rainbow.
Oh,
well, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
No, I'm just saying, normally my aura feel is what the term is, has a gold at the top and solid white all the way to the floor.
He said, Zora is, for those of you on the show, on the radio, his aura is, what is it again?
It's golden. Golden.
It's golden.
Gold at the top.
Gold at the top.
All the way to the floor.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful.
That's what we were saying with Teresa, that when that rainbow, that information was coming in, then it did shift to more, I saw more of a gold. And okay, the aurora
wonderful.
There. Okay,
wonderful.
Good.
Wonderful. And then Teresa, what colors do you see?
Oh, I see white. I see lavender around her. Just a very, very spiritual energy. Very, very communicating. Almost a little bit of an indigo there. I'm getting a shifting, a shimmer. You have shimmering colors around you.
She's got the sparkly eyes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
right
the
now.
Sparkly
These
eyes.
Really cool sparkly eyes. And well, it's nice to see your colors, but can you read yourself?
Actually, yes, because when I'm looking through energy, I am actually looking through my own energy field.
Okay, great.
And great. I have a lot of golden energy today.
Yeah, that's very nice. Nice.
So,
then my colors are blue. Or
you have like a lot of silver and almost like blue around you as well that I can see. That's okay. And your samurai friend is there.
Oh, good. I met him last November when I went to a shrine called the
Nitta
Shrine, for those of you in Japan. It's a very famous shrine. This warrior split the ocean open like Moses did to save his people from impending death by an invading army. But a wonderful man, and I asked him at that time what I could do about Fukushima, and he said, continue your prayers and sending love and light. So he reminded me to do that prayer earlier. Now, last but not least, we have Scott and Ariana. And Scott, what do you see for Scott?
Scott has... Actually, it's almost like a magenta color, a very passionate color mm-hmm. that's coming in, and that it's quite strong, very grounded energy.
Wonderful. And then Ariana?
Well, Ariana, it depends on who's with Ariana because there's a lot of shifting. It's an more of an interdimensional source for that energy, shimmering colors. Magentas, violets, gold, white, and the silvery. So it's very, very interesting to watch that as when she was the different, her friends were coming through and relatives.
Interesting. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow we'll be having Simon Parks. He's a famous English politician, and his soul is split into three parts, human, mantis, and reptilian. Now, he's chosen to be allied with the humans and the mantis, so he's benevolent. But his perspective is very interesting, and he'll be coming on by Skype, I believe, on Sunday. That's correct, on Sunday. Then tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m., I have one of the world's most famous water scientists, Professor Jerry Pollack, wonderful man. And he's interesting and wonderful because he does a lot of research into the metaphysical qualities of water, including memory. He's just an incredibly interesting person. And then we have a bunch of other people. All of us, all the people here will be speaking through the weekend. Of course, Dr. Yoshi will be giving his Hado demonstrations on Sunday afternoon. He'll be giving a lecture about how the Hado machine works. I've listened to his lectures before, and you have to really pay attention because it's fascinating the way it does. Just actually incredible. And so I just want to thank everyone so much for listening today to Out of This World Radio. And I hope you all have a wonderful day and an out-of-this-world day. If you're in the Olympia area, you'd like to come down. Today's a free day. We're having some incredibly interesting films by Japanese film director Tetsushiro Tori tonight on cleaning up the planet with EM-affected microorganisms and the power of prayer, or Nori. Thank you so much for listening to Out of This World Radio, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Bye-bye.